1 to 10, 1 Peter 2, verses 1 through 10, speaking to you this morning about the subject that we are living stones in God's house. We are living stones in God's house. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. And a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but now are the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for the privilege to look into your word again. We thank you for this designation you give for the child of God, this description, and that is that we are stones in your house, living stones. We thank you, Lord, for that, because we know you're the one that has made that possible. And we know, Lord, that only you can give life. But our heart goes out to those who might be here today, Lord, who have never trusted Jesus. And I pray that they would understand today that without Christ, they are not living. They're actually dead, separated from you. And I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. Encourage us as your people to be what you have told us that we are, to act like that, and to be a good testimony of Jesus Christ, the one who's made us alive. Give enablement to bring the message, and we'll thank you for what you accomplished. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's interesting and very instructive to note that God demands of Christians certain characteristics which really characterize his characteristics. In other words, God tells us to be what he is. For example, the Bible says that he is holy, and therefore we are to be holy. The Scripture says that he is truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And because he is truth, we're to be truthful. So we're to be like him. The Scripture says in Colossians 3:19, lie not one to another. God never lies, and so we're not to lie. He also tells us that he is faithful. God is a faithful God. And therefore he tells us in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So God says, I'm faithful, therefore you should be faithful. He also likens Christians to himself in certain ways, by telling us that we are like him in some ways. One way is that he says that he is the light of the world. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And then in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, he says, you are the light of the world. So we are what Jesus is. He's the light of the world and we're the light of the world. He also tells us that he is the Son of God. Now, in no way are we that. In that particular way, we are not that special Son of God like Jesus is, but because we are related to him through faith in Jesus Christ, he calls us sons of God. So he is the Son of God, and we are sons of God. Because of that, we are joint heirs with Jesus. We're children of God, and therefore joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So in a way, we are what he is. We have a special relationship to the Father. He also, the Bible tells us, is the great high priest. So we read that in this passage, that or another passage, that he is the great high priest. And then he says, we are priests. So he is a priest. He's the great high priest. We're not that, but we are priests. So every one of you here who know Jesus today are priests. You have direct access to God in prayer. You can go to God, offer sacrifices of praise and other things to the Lord because you are priests. And that God is, Jesus is a priest, and we are priests. Also, we find in this passage that God is Jesus is referred to as the chief cornerstone. So he's a stone. He's a cornerstone. He's a foundation stone. But the Bible also tells us that we are stones. We are living stones. So in ways, we are like him. Now, he is totally different than us. I know he's far superior to us, but he is a stone, and he says we are living stones. In our text, we see the word stone appears four times. In the verses we've read, it appears in verse 4, verse 6, verse 7, and verse 8. Let's notice those. First of all, verse 4, the word stone appears, and all these refer to Jesus Christ. He says that he's the living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. So Jesus Christ is the living stone. Also, in verse 6, he's called the chief cornerstone, elect and precious. So he's the living stone, he's the chief cornerstone. Verse 7, he's the stone which the builders disallowed, which has been made the head of the corner. So he's the stone that the builders, and that would be the leaders in the Jewish faith or in Israel, the leaders rejected him. So he's the stone that the leaders rejected, the builders rejected. Also, in verse 8, he's a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. So those four times the word stone appears all refer to Jesus. But there's one time in this passage that we've read this morning where it refers to us. And it's the word stones. We find that in verse 5. The word stones appear and it refers to believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are called living stones. We are living stones, a part of his spiritual house. So we are God's stones, living stones in God's house. Now, the Lord describes that house in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. He says this, the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. So let's get the picture in our minds this morning. If you are a born-again believer in Christ, the Lord says you are a living stone, which has been put in his house, that is the church. Now, remembering that picture, that we are a living stone put in his house, the church, we want to talk about our subject this morning, and that is another way that God designates Christians is, our identity is that we are stones in the house of God. We are living stones in the house of God. Now, I'm not calling all of you rockheads today or anything like that. But I will say this, according to the scripture, if you know Jesus, you're a stone. You're a living stone. And we want to talk about that this morning. So look at several things concerning that. First one is this, the producing of living stones. How are living stones produced? Living stones that God puts in his house, in the church. How are they produced? Well, first of all, God starts off with a dead stone. I mean, God makes living stones out of dead stones. So he starts with a dead stone. Ephesians tells us that in chapter 2, verse 1. It says this, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So get it in your mind this morning that God likens you to a living stone. He says you are a living stone. But he says that you didn't start off living. You started off dead. And you were dead in trespasses and sin. We all come, you might say, from God's rock quarry of humanity. And all of those rocks in that rock quarry of humanity are dead stones. Dead because of their sin. Separated from God, dead, separated from his life and separated from his pleasure and his approval. They're dead. So human rock comes in many shapes and many sizes. Human stones, those dead stones come in many shapes and many sizes. but they all have one thing in common, and that is they're all dead. Now, you remember the description we've given at other times in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, the person outside of Jesus Christ is seen as dead, they're seen as disobedient, they're seen as dirty, and they're seen as doomed. So we are children of wrath, even as others. We are dead, separated from God. We're disobedient because of our disobedience. We're dirty before the Lord, and we're doomed. So everybody starts off that way. So people in the world are of all different shapes and sizes and abilities and all of that. But one thing is true of everyone outside of Christ, and that is they're all dead. They're dead stones. Now, God takes that dead stone and makes that stone alive. How does He do that? Well, there's certain things that have to happen. First of all, the gospel has to come to you. And you who are saved today, that happened. It's absolutely impossible for you to be a child of God and a living stone unless the gospel came to you. There's no other way. So the gospel had to come to you. Secondly, you had to hear that gospel that came to you. You know, sometimes the gospel comes to people, but they don't pay attention to it. But if you trusted Jesus as your Savior, if you're alive now, the gospel came to you, and then you heard that gospel. You really listened, you paid attention to it, you heard the gospel, and then you believed the gospel. You believed that God said you were dead, you were separated from Him, you were a sinner. You believed the severity of that, and you believed that Jesus left heaven's glory, came to this earth to die for your sins on the cross of Calvary. He paid for your sins there. You believed that. You believed that He arose from the grave. You believed the gospel message, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and you called out to God to save you based on what Jesus did for you on the cross. And when that happened, the Bible says you were made alive. And every one of us were made alive the same way. The gospel came to us. We heard the gospel. We responded in faith to the gospel. We believed it. We called out to the Lord, and He made us alive. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4 and 5, He explains it like this. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together. That's made us alive in Christ. He says He's quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. And so the Lord saved us. He made us alive. God makes the believer alive and then lives in the believer. Now, the way He makes us alive is in connection with the Word of God. Let me explain that to you. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The word quick means alive. The Word of God is alive. You see, life begets life. And so it took the Word of God to work in our hearts to bring us life. And so the Word of God is quick, it's alive. And then the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. How did we come to life? How were we born again? How did we have spiritual life? It was through the Word of God. So the Word of God, that's why we said the Word of God has to come to you. And then you believe the Word of God, and life begets life. And so a person is saved through faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We're saved by believing in Him. Therefore, each stone that the Lord makes alive is alive. It has life in itself, but there's something else special about it. You see, if we said this is a stone, let's say this is a stone that's going in the building, and it's you. I could put your name on there, and you could say, Bill Duvall, alive. If we put Bill's name on there, that means he's trusted Jesus as his Savior. And he's a part of the church, the house of God. He's a part of God's body. Well, we can put your name on there. And you are a part of God's body. God put you into His church. But there's something unique about this person. That is, not only are they alive and a part of the body, but in another sense, they are actually the temple of God themselves. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 that you are the temple of God because the Spirit of God lives in you. So when God saved you, He gave you life, and part of the way He gave you life is by putting His life inside of you. And so the Spirit of God actually comes in and lives inside of us. And so we are the temple of God because He lives inside of us. But in another sense, we're a part of the temple of God. We're a part of His building. And so every little block, every little stone, everyone, and all of us are small, by the way. All of us are small. But every one of us, alive in Christ, we are in a building that's alive. We are alive, and we actually are a temple of God because God lives inside of us. And so you put all these blocks or all these stones in this huge building called the church. You can see how you can say the church is alive. It is definitely alive. And so we are living stones. Now, we are made alive by Christ. Now, God forms the stone as He sees fit. He forms this stone as He sees fit because He has a purpose for it. You see, there's in the Scripture, God pictures us in various ways. He pictures the Christian as a vessel unto honor that God uses in His service. He pictures us as a member. We preached a message about that. We are members of His body. So He pictures us as a member of His body, and then He pictures us as a living stone in His house. A building needs different stones of different shapes, different sizes, because there's different purposes for the stone. You see, a stone in the side of a building on the wall would be one kind of stone. A stone on the windowsill would be another kind of stone. A stone at the base of a door would be another kind of stone. There are different kinds of stones in buildings, and God made us different, but God is the one who makes us the kind of stone that He wants us to be. All of us are living, but we all have different purposes. And so God puts us in the church as He sees fit. So when God makes you a living stone, He knows ahead of time what your purpose is. Now that's why every child of God should feel, in the right sense, good about yourself. And you should have a good self-image, not because you are so good, but because of the one who made you. And that is, He made you alive, and He gave as a purpose for you. He knows where you fit, and He planned it ahead of time. God doesn't make you alive and then sit back and say, how in the world am I going to put that in the building? God doesn't do that. You're all special. You're valuable to Him. I'm reminded of the Old Testament when Solomon built the temple. You find it in 1 Kings chapter 6, if you want to turn back there. Just want to read one verse. 1 Kings chapter 6, verse 7. You remember, David wanted to build the temple and God wouldn't let him, because he had been a man of war and all of that. And so he said, I'll let your son Solomon build the temple. But David seemingly got a plan from God of how the temple was to be. And so he began to gather all these materials. And so Solomon now has the plan because David has passed it on to him from God. And he knows how it's to be built. And he has all this material gathered. And notice this interesting verse, 1 Kings 6, verse 7. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone, made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in building. You might say when the temple was going up, there was no confusion. In fact, there wasn't a lot of loud noises. Because outside of the temple area, they formed the rock. And in order for them to cut the rock so that it fit in a place and not have to do any chiseling when they got it to the place, that means it had to be prepared ahead of time because there was a designated place where it was supposed to go. The specifications were laid down. They knew how they were to shape it. And when it was shaped, then it was ready to put in place. We're something like that. God took us out of the rock quarry of dead stones. And He made us alive. He gives us the life that we need. He gives us the spiritual gifts that we need. He puts His Spirit inside of us to enable us to do anything He wants us to do. And then He takes us and He places us in His building. God has a place for you. So God makes us living stones. He knows what He's going to do with us. And when He does, when He makes us, then He's ready to put us in His building. Now, we need to understand something about this producing of stones, and that is, you cannot become a living stone on your own efforts or by your own efforts. You see, good deeds won't make you a living stone. Religious actions won't make you a living stone. Church membership won't make you a living stone. If God doesn't make you alive, you'll just be a religious dead rock. And there are a lot of people like that, I believe, in churches. They're religious, good deeders, and all of that, and they're a part of the church, but they're not alive. Only God can make you alive. So if you think you're going to be religious, you're going to join the church, you're going to start doing good things, and God will be pleased and let you into heaven. No, He won't. He won't let you into heaven. Only He can give life. You are a dead stone outside of Christ. Doesn't matter how you dress it up. You're still dead outside of Christ. So you need the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. So if you come here today and you feel like, well, I'm not fit to be a part of God's building, of God's house, of God's church, you're exactly right. You're not. But you see, God specializes in things thought impossible. And God specializes in taking dead stones and making them alive. And God can do the same for you. So you might come here as just a sinner apart from Christ and you don't know what you're going to do. You come to Jesus and believe on Him and let Him make you alive, and He'll give you the spiritual gifts you need, and He'll shape you the way He wants to shape you, and He'll put you into His church because He's the one that can do it. God has a special place for you. So the producing of living stones is all done by God. He's the only one that can do it. But what about the placing of living stones? God is a builder. You see, God is a builder, and the Bible says of Jesus, the Son of God, in John chapter 1, verse 3, it talks about Him as the Word, that's Jesus, because later in verse 14 He says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, so we know He's talking about Jesus. And He says this of the Word, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. I mean, just think, what more appropriate family could Jesus have been put in when He was came and became a man, a little baby, and then to grow up in a family? What more appropriate family than the family of a carpenter, a builder? That's what Joseph was. And God put Jesus in Joseph's home because he was a carpenter. And that's what God is. That's what Jesus is. I mean, He made everything. I mean, Joseph might have think, well, Jesus, let me show you what I made. Well, Jesus, as a young man, if God allowed him to remember all that he had done, and some of that he did and some he didn't, because he limited his knowledge because he humbled himself. But as Joseph was showing him what he made, Jesus in his mind could have thought, and I made you. And I made the worlds, because He did. And so He was a builder, and He is a builder, and Jesus is a builder, and so He's the one that's going to do the building. That is the placing of the stone in the right place, putting it in the right place. Jesus is building His church, and He's doing a good job of it. Now, sometimes it doesn't look that way to us. And we can't see all that God's doing. But you see, God's church, His body, is not just this church. His body is universal, and that is, there's people from all around the world who are part of His body, His church. And so God is doing a great work, and we can't see all that's going on, but God sees it. And God saves this person. He takes the person out of the rock quarry of humanity. He makes this stone alive, and then He puts it in His church, His building. He takes another person, maybe from another country, and He puts them in His church, in His building. And God is doing that. And I believe this, when God gets through building, He'll take us home. Because the Bible says the Lord's going to come back someday and He's going to take us home. So maybe when that last person is saved and God says, all right, it's ready to take you home. Now, it might be at that very moment, might be a little bit while later, I don't know. But I believe when God finishes building His church, He's going to take us home. The Scripture says of Jesus, He says, I will build my church. And He is doing that today, and He'll continue to do that until the church is complete, and then He'll take us home. But let's think about Him placing us. He places in the building only those who are saved. 1 Peter chapter 2, our text says, We are built up a spiritual house. God knows where we belong in the church, and that's where He puts us. He places us in that particular place. And He places us in line with the cornerstone. You see, in this building, He says there's a cornerstone. Now, a cornerstone in those days was more than what a cornerstone is today. A cornerstone today, many times, is just decorative. You know, it'll have the date that it was built, or it'll be an honor to somebody. It'll be a cornerstone. And that's a very important stone. But in those days, I understand the cornerstone was much more than that. It was the stone by which everything lined up. And so it was had to be exactly straight and plumb and square and everything, and so that the building lined up with it. And so every stone has to line up with the cornerstone. And Jesus said, I'm the cornerstone. And so I place you in line with the very Son of God. And there's only one way He could do that for us, with us. And that is, it's in some way. I mean, we fall short, don't we? All of us do. How can God put imperfect people like us in His building and line us up with the cornerstone when sometimes we're so out of line with the cornerstone? It's because of our position in Christ. And that is, He gives us His righteousness. And so, as God looks at us, we are perfect in Christ Jesus, because He's given us His righteousness. And so He puts us in that building where He wants us to be. So He places us in the building. Now, let's look at another thing about these living stones. And that is the purpose of the living stones. What's our purpose? When God places us in His house, He has a reason for that. He has a purpose. He has several purposes. One purpose is this, and we see it in our text this morning in verse 2. He says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You see, when He makes us alive, we still have some growing to do. We still have growing to do. He has made us alive. He's given us His life. He's given us even His righteousness. But experientially, we have some growing to do, and God wants us to mature as a Christian. Living things grow. And it is normal for the Christian to grow spiritually. So if you are not growing spiritually, let's say you can think back, say, 5 years ago. You knew the Lord still 5 years ago. You knew the Lord, and today you still know the Lord, of course. But can you look back 5 years ago and say, I am more what Jesus wants me to be than I was 5 years ago? If you can say that, you've experienced spiritual growth. You've become more like Jesus. Maybe you're displaying more of the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, those kinds of things. Maybe you have matured and maybe you're more patient than you used to be. In other words, you have grown as a Christian. Well, that's what the Lord wants us to do. He wants us to grow as a child of God. And so His purpose for this living stone is to be a part of this body. But this body is not stagnant. I mean, it's not just never changing. It is changing because we're growing. So really, even with a local church, it should be true. We get better. We should get better as the years go by. That's what God's desire is. He wants us to grow. God doesn't want us stagnant. God doesn't want us stunted, our growth to be stunted, and He sure doesn't want us souring. Sometimes Christians sour, you know. They become bitter and fault-finding and, you know, difficult to be around. God doesn't want us like that. He wants us growing. And growing requires the Word of God. You notice what He says in verse 3, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If you look at yourself and you say, you know, I have to admit that I really haven't changed much over the last 5 years. I'm really not any better of a Christian than I was 5 years ago. maybe some have to say, I'm not as good as I used to be. I've actually backslidden, and I'm not where I used to be. If that is true, then I know something else that's true. And that is, there's a lack of the Word of God in your life. The Lord says this, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. It's the Word of God that helps us grow. And if we're not taking in the Word of God, if we're not reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, letting the Word of God change us, then we're not growing. But God wants us to grow. Another purpose God has of these stones that He puts in the building is He wants us to give thanks. He wants us to give thanks. So these are stones in the building giving thanks to the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 says, ye also as lively stones, and that means living stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. So these living stones offer up spiritual sacrifices to God. And the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that one of those spiritual sacrifices is thanksgiving. Let me read it to you. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And so one of the things that we do is we give praise or we give thanks to the Lord. And so we're thanking God for what He's done for us. God has done for us what we could not do for ourselves. He made us alive. And we should never get over that. You should be able to say to anybody, I was saved a few years ago and I've never gotten over it. And because we should never get over it. We don't. But we should be thankful to God. We should always be thankful to God for what He's done for us. And so that's God's purpose. He says, I made you living, put you in the building so that you could give thanks to the Lord. He also wants us to go. So He wants us to grow, He wants us to give thanks, and He wants us to go with the message. Now let me show you that from the Scripture. The Bible says in Ephesians, or rather in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, Jesus says to Peter, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, that's the profession that He's made, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter, upon this rock, this foundation that you've just said, that truth, I will build my church. And so the Lord says, I'm going to build the church. That was future. Jesus wasn't doing it that day because He was still on this earth. He hadn't yet died on the cross. He was going to, but He says, I will build my church. Well, when did that building start? We have a hint of that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 22. It says, in whom, that is Christ, ye also are built together through the Spirit. So there's no building of the church until the Spirit of God comes. When did the Spirit of God come? The Spirit of God came at Pentecost. And Acts tells us that. And on the day of Pentecost, the Lord sent His Spirit. And so I believe the building of the church started with the Spirit of God. Now, the Scripture says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. We're to be witnesses. So God says, a result of you being put in my house as a living stone is I want you to grow. I want you to become more like me. I want you to give thanks to God, offer spiritual sacrifices of thanks to God. And then He says, I want you to go. You see, these stones are not just set there and they don't do anything. This is a spiritual house. It's not a physical structure. And so these stones are busy. They're going. And He says, I'm going to send the Spirit. And when the Spirit comes, the building will start. And when the Spirit comes, you will be witnesses. And you will go in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. You'll take the gospel wherever you go. You share the Word of God with other people. So God says, my purpose is for you to go. Scripture says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I might rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. But then there's another thing God wants us to do. His purpose for living stones is that they would glorify Him. So we're to grow, we're to give thanks, we're to go, and we're to glorify the Lord. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, he says it like this in our text, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you. How did he call you? He says, out of darkness into light. So the Lord says this, I called you out of darkness, I put you in light. He says, I made you that were not a people, I made you a people. And then he says, you that had not obtained mercy, now you have obtained mercy. And so the Lord says, this is what I've done for you. These living stones are people who were in darkness, but now they're in light. They were in death, now they're in life. They were in darkness, now they're in light. They were not a people, now they are the people of God. They did not have mercy, now they do have mercy. And God is saying this, you have all of this, I want you to talk about it, I want you to brag on me. And so we brag on Jesus Christ and we tell people what the Lord's done for us. So these living stones in God's building are glorifying Him. They are telling people about Jesus Christ. They're telling what He's done for them in particular. And so it's not just giving thanks to Him, but it's giving praise to others who hear. And so we glorify the Lord through what we have to say about Him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13 says it like this, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. If you have a living stone in a building, and here it is sitting in the building, and somebody goes by to observe the building, and this stone is murmuring and complaining and grumbling and griping. You'd say, well, that wouldn't happen. That does happen, doesn't it? Aren't there a lot of Christians who've sort of gotten over all that God's done for them? They've forgotten that they were not a people, now they are a people. They've forgotten they didn't have mercy, now they do have mercy. They've forgotten they were in darkness, now they're in light. They've forgotten they were dead, now they're alive. They've sort of forgotten about that. And they grumble and they complain and they gripe and they moan about everything. What's happening? Is God being glorified as people observe the stone? No, He's not being glorified. It's the happy Christian that glorifies the Lord. And so he says, we live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. So we are to be shining as lights in the world. Other people should see that. Our life from God should be clearly seen so that people would have to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, as we introduce this passage, as we read just a while ago, he says, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. Put away these things, people, because you're living stones. And we shouldn't act that way. We should bring glory to the Lord. Yes, God wants us to grow spiritually. He wants us to give thanks. He wants us to go with the Word. And He wants us to glorify Him. Now, I've looked at three things this morning. We want to cover one more, but here are the three things we've observed, first of all. The producing of the living stones. How are they produced? God gives them life. We saw the placing of the living stone. Who places it? God does. He places it in the building where He wants it to be. You have a purpose. And then we saw the purpose of the living stones and all that that involves. But then I want us to close with one thing, and that is the peril of the dead stone. You see, there are a lot of people who are not alive. There might be somebody here today that you're not alive. You might mingle among the people, and they might think you're a Christian, but you know you're not. I know what that's like, because I was there many times. As a young person, I claimed to be a Christian, but I wasn't. I was a hypocrite, and I wasn't really a person who was truly a child of God. But one day the Lord made me alive. But if you've never been made alive, if you're not a living stone, then there's a peril to being a dead stone. You see, when Jesus walked on the earth, the religious leaders and many others rejected Him. The Scripture says that in 1 Peter, He was the stone which the builders disallowed. In Luke chapter 20, verse 17, it says, the stone the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. But He was rejected. Some people today, many people today, most people today reject the Jesus Christ. And they remain a dead stone and can't become a living stone. They reject the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's a problem with rejecting Him. Because the person that rejects Him will one day have Him fall on them. Here's the way the Scripture describes it. in Luke chapter 20, verse 18. Whosoever shall fall upon that stone shall be broken. So the stone, the Lord Jesus, if you fall on Him in repentance and faith and sorrow over your sin, and you call out to Him to save you, He will break you. I mean, you will be broken. You'll be humbled. But as you're laying there all humbled, you realize underneath you, you have a foundation. And that's Jesus Christ. And if you've been saved, you know what I mean. He broke you, but He became your foundation. And He put you in His building. But the Bible says if you don't fall on Him, it says whosoever shall fall upon the stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. So Jesus will either be the one that made you alive, or He'll be the one that'll be your judge and grind you to powder. That's also described in the book of Daniel, in Daniel chapter 2. And it says this. Remember, it was the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had. And here's what it says in verse 34. Thou sawest till a stone was cut out of the mountain, cut out without hands, which smote the image upon the feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together, and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. That's grinding them to powder. They became like the chaff of the summer threshing floor. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. The Lord says you have a choice. You can either fall on Jesus in repentance and be broken and let Him transform you into a dead stone, from a dead stone into a living stone. Or you can go and do like the leaders in Israel did and reject Jesus, turn Him aside, say no to Him, the stone which the builders rejected. And the Lord says the day will come, that stone will fall on you. And you'll be ground to powder. And you'll be lost forevermore. You'll be cast into hell and it'll be too late. You must deal with the stone. What are you going to do with Jesus Christ? He is the living stone that wants to make us a living stone. If you've never trusted Him, I hope that you will today. Let's pray. Father, thank You today for showing us from the Scripture what You have to say about us as living stones. Lord, what a privilege. We don't deserve it. There's no way, Lord, we deserve to be a living stone, but we thank You that we are because of Jesus. But it could be that there's one here today who's never trusted Him. They've never followed Him in repentance and faith. I pray that today will be the day they trust Jesus. Before it's too late, help them to call out to You today. Work in hearts and accomplish Your will, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.